But I remember before, there was a guy in the, what was it, the last chapter? Yeah, the last chapter where it says, hey, you know, he went away very sorrowful. He was rich. Christ told him to sell all he had. And there's no evidence that he had done anything wicked. This guy gives away half. Maybe he needs the other half to restore fourfold to all the people he defrauded. It might end up making him absolutely penniless. But for him, it's worth it. To enter into the kingdom of God, it's worth it. And Jesus says to him, this day is salvation come to this house. People don't even really value what salvation is. You know, rich people today think, oh, I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. As they hoard their riches. And then the day comes, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Yeah, it's easy to despise bankers and so on and tax collectors. And of course, it's because of what they're doing. And while they're doing it, and when they repent not, it's worthy of condemnation. It's worthy of rebuke. It's worthy of threat. You are in danger of eternal fire. So when I speak roughly to them, to me, it is for their good. There's nothing wrong. It's not about despising them personally. You know, where you're saying, that person, where you despise them on a very personal level, like that guy deserves to burn. How dare he do such things? I just know for the deeds they do, they will be destroyed. The deeds that they have wicked committed and all their works are to be burned. This is the judgment of God. The judgment of God is already set concerning them which do such things. How will they escape? Who has warned them to flee from the wrath to come? Well, that's our job, isn't it? What do you see in this? Jesus' mercy. I'm coming to eat with you in your house today. And he repented. There were other people who asked him to his house and he came and they repented not and he condemned them. So what Jesus' teaching is, if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. It's a simple formula. But unrebuked sin is not very likely to be repented of. And their blood will God require at our hands. When we see them sin and we don't say something to provoke them to, you know, take some sort of action to demonstrate to them their need for repentance. Change of heart, change of mind. Think again. Verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And he came to the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said to him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said to him likewise, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said to him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said to them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And for I say to you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should rule over them, bring hither and slay before me." An interesting picture of the second coming of Christ. You know, people thought in Jesus' generation that the kingdom of God would come in their generation. It was going to come immediately. And even after Jesus' death and his ascension, they were still thinking it's coming really soon. And Jesus never gave us any reason to think otherwise. We're going to die within no more than 120 years. Even the most healthy people who are healthy at 100 die before they're 120. And that's just the way of man. So I know that I'm going to be facing the resurrection of the dead and the judgment of God within the next, in the next 80 years or less. More likely less, right? So even if it doesn't come in my generation, it behooves me to prepare myself as if it were. And since we do not know the day or the hour of his coming, or really even the exact time of generations, I mean, I feel like it's going to be my generation. I know we're not in the end times right now. We certainly are not. But the end times could initiate and begin, and the trumpets could sound and fire from heaven, and poof, we're in the end times. And if that happens, I don't want to be caught with my pants down. And that's what about the whole waiting thing is. It's really like, you know, musical chairs. While the music's playing, you better be alert. If you fall asleep, there's going to be no chair for you to sit in. And that's a bit of a silly analogy. We have to occupy. What does he mean by occupy? Well, he makes it clear that he means to engage in business, to occupy by trading his goods. And it's very obvious that the things God gives us, whether it be knowledge, our you know, the righteousness he gives us, we got to do something with it. The gospel, the truth, the Spirit of God, all the things, gifts of prophecy, gifts of teaching, gifts of the Holy Spirit, all these things, they need to be put to use so that they gain him a reward. Remember the parable of the sower. The sower went forth. And what happened to the seeds that fell on good ground? They brought forth fruit. Some hundredfold, some 50-fold, whatever. But the point was there was different grades because unto each man according to his gifts. Some people are more gifted than others. But even the people with the least gift need to do something with it. In this case, once again, that which someone has, they seem to have. They have one thing, and what do? They bury it in the earth.